Business on the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Arun Roth.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you.
In 1967, the Frito Bandito stole his way to the top of the advertising food chain when Frito-Lay used the animated outlaw to sell corn chips to kids. A pistol-packing Mexican thief drawn by Tex Avery and voiced by Mel Blanc. He quickly drew the ire of Mexican-Americans, who fought back. Within a few years, the Bandito was banished. But as reporter David Siegel noted in Slate this week, the Frito Bandito wasn't the first racist spokescharacter to hawk food products. Siegel joins us now for a tour of advertising infamy. David, welcome to On the Media.
Thanks very much.
So I want to start with a spokescharacter that's been in the news recently, because after 60 years of faithfully adorning boxes of rice as an avuncular cook, he's finally received a promotion. That's, of course, Uncle Ben.
Yeah, Uncle Ben was introduced in 1943. He was the bow-tied chef on the box. And recently, Mars, which now owns Uncle Ben, decided to give him a promotion. And they have made him the CEO of the fictional Uncle Ben's Incorporated.
Well, Uncle Ben was basically the image is he's an Uncle Tom, right?
He's an Uncle Tom. This is a character that people might not know about now, but at the time when he was introduced in the 40s, the Tom was a very popular figure in advertising, and there were dozens of companies that created Toms as spokescharacters. They were basically all the same person. They were black, they were in their 40s or over, and they had no ambition. They were very, very happy, and they were just pleased to be serving white people. Oddly enough, they haven't given him much of an upgrade in wardrobe. He still has this bow tie that he had in the 40s, but he's got a sort of swishier jacket. He has a wood-paneled office and a Mac, as well as a date book filled with his upcoming travel plans.
So Uncle Ben has really had an amazing rise through the ranks, but there's another character that I noticed in the grocery store the other day after reading your piece that seems pretty much the same as ever, the cream of wheat guy.
Yeah, Rastus predates Uncle Ben by a few decades. He was this invention by the guys that started Cream of Wheat. Rastus would sometimes have a chalkboard, and he would write messages on the chalkboard, and they were written in the kind of broken English of a slave. And that's really what these characters were. They were kind of holdovers from the era of slavery. And in the South, they kind of operated as a way of saying to Northerners, you know, if segregation is so bad, why are these people so happy? Mm-hmm. It was a kind of implicit argument for segregation. And in the North, I think they appealed to people that felt like they wanted a butler. They wanted to feel privileged. And these characters sort of did that.
There was a Shirley Temple movie where she plays the daughter of a Confederate soldier, and it's the same thing. They're on a plantation in the South before the war, and the slaves are all just really happy, dancing. Mm-hmm. After the war, they're really miserable.
Right.
Nobody's taking care of them, and I guess they have nobody to cook for.
The example of that is, of course, Aunt Jemima. She got her start in 1899. She was this creation of Chris Rutt, who had seen a minstrel character by the name of Aunt Jemima and decided that this would be the character that would promote his new self-rising pancake mix.
You know, Aunt Jemima, morning, noon, or night, there's nothing like a fragrant stack of your Aunt Jemima pancakes.
They're tempting for breakfast, lunch, or supper.
Yes.
And radiating with delicious aroma.
She was a huge success.
Remember,
pancake days is happy days.
When you serve tempting, appetizing, tasting, tantalizing Aunt Jemima pancakes.
And the backstory of Aunt Jemima in the early ads was that she had lived on a plantation with a colonel in Louisiana and pined for the days, as she put it, before the wall. Lots of her dialogue was broken up like that, and it was all about a kind of nostalgia, and she herself was supposed to be an ex-slave.
Now, the racist spokescharacters are not confined just to African-American images. As we noted at the start, the Frito Bandito was a character of some notoriety, I guess, in the late 60s and early 70s. We don't hear about him much these days. What happened to the Frito Bandito?
I started writing this piece when my editor asked me to do a thing about snacks. And it occurred to me that there had been a character in my childhood named the Frito Bandito, who is a kind of dwarf Mexican criminal who wanted to steal your crunchy corn chips. And it was one of those things where I thought, like, did I dream that? Or was that really, like, did that actually exist?
I am the Frito Bandito. I just find out the Frito Bureau investigation looks for me. They say I am a bad man.
An organization called the Mexican-American Anti-Defamation Committee took great offense at this particular archetype of the kind of oily, smelly Mexican, which for some reason really took off in the 60s. And I think this committee decided we've got to put a stop to this, and they drew the line at the bandito. And so Frito-Lay ordered a makeover.
But he didn't become CEO of the company, though.
No, he didn't. They shaved him. They fixed his teeth. The ad agency was told to stop making him so leering and sinister. He became kind of friendly and rascally, but still wanted to heist your corn chips.
How many people here got the bag of Fritos with them right now? Raise the right hand. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Now, senores, if you just raise the other hand.
The committee was not appeased by this, and they continued their campaign. And finally, this came to an end when Congress had hearings about ethnic stereotypes on TV, and the bandito was the sort of star character. And that was it. Frito-Lay pulled the bandito. He was replaced by W.C. Frito, a much less offensive and much less successful spokes character.
Yeah, we all remember W.C. Frito. When did we start to turn the corner on this being generally acceptable?
My hunch is that it was as a result of the civil rights movement. Not only are advertisers thinking, what can we say to not offend, but also, like, what will appeal? Blacks at a certain point had enough money to matter to advertisers.
So if people are willing to boycott in big enough numbers, Aunt Jemima and Rastas and the like, the dollar speaks in the end.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really interesting question. Is the characters that did endure, why did they endure? There were protests about particularly Aunt Jemima. She's attracted a lot of antipathy over the years. But it never quite rose to the level where whites and other people who are not black felt embarrassed about buying Aunt Jemima.
So do you think we're stuck with these last survivors, Aunt Jemima, you know, Uncle Ben, and Rastas?
You know, I think we are. I think that they have managed to sort of re-engineer them carefully enough over the years so that they're kind of innocuous enough and kind of grandfathered in somehow. I think very, very few people that go to a supermarket have any idea that Uncle Ben has his roots in this archetype of the Tom and that Aunt Jemima has her roots in the archetype of the Mammy. And as a result of that, I think that they ultimately get a pass in perpetuity.
David, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
David Siegel is a reporter for The Washington Post. His slideshow of racist spokes characters in Slate will be linked to at onthemedia.org.
Seems to me you're extra happy today, Aunt Jemima.
Well, Cole, for one thing, I'm looking forward to a mighty tuneful song by the chorus.
Yes, Aunt Jemima, and here it is.
And then he'd roll, 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 way up the river he would roll, roll.